Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we learn about music so good that it was preserved in a library at a university.
Oh, I know what you mean, Jim. Like Kiss.
No, not like Kiss. Not everything has something to do with Kiss. All right, Patrick.
Yes, Jim.
Yesterday, we played part of your conversation with a couple of guys from Yup Rock Records. Their names are...
Glenn Dicker and Billy Maupin. Glenn being a co-founder. There was another guy you heard mentioned, Tor Hansen. And then Billy is the general manager. We heard yesterday, at one point, talked a lot about how you run a label in 2017. But I think you heard Billy say how they talk a lot about every employee there has to be kind of sick with music, you know? So I think you and I maybe could be employees there. I don't know if they're hiring part-time or they're going to open a Ashburn office, but maybe we could do that.
Let us know, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can find me on LinkedIn.
Me too.
All right, so with that, I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
You are listening to Rock in the Suburbs. We are out here in the suburbs. The guys from Yup Rock, they're in sort of a suburban-ish area of North Carolina,
yeah,
right?
Hillsboro. Not far from Raleigh area.
Raleigh,
so suburbs of
Durham,
Raleigh,
all that.
Yep. The Triangle.
And they have a great record label. Did you ask them where they got the name Yup Rock? Did you talk about that?
I didn't, but I know that it comes from a really old single, like a blues kind of
really?
Root single. Yeah.
It's a great name
it really
for a label.
Is. Yeah.
It's one of those names for a label that catches your attention to the point where you think like, well, the people running this must be cool. They must really be into music to just call it that, right?
Exactly. It seems like they're, you know, like I said, really sick with it. And we're going to talk in this portion and we're going to hear some music, but really talk about some of the nuggets in their back catalog and,
great.
And you know, hear different things. But we're going to start with a really interesting thing they just recently started doing, which was they've partnered with the University of North Carolina Folklore Department to start putting out these archival recordings. One that was kind of lost to the world was Dolly Parton's first single, and then they have a compilation of Cajun music that's out now. So they're going to be unearthing all these gems that have kind of just been more or less housed in an archive in a university, you know, more of like a Library of Congress kind of thing. So it's another element to what they're doing.
Yeah, Library of Congress right next to our tapes,
that's
right?
That's it, yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of which, I have the tape of your interview threaded up here on the big machine, so let's hit that.
Bill, you mentioned the collaboration with UNC, the Folk Life?
It's the Southern Folk Life
Southern
Collection.
Folk Life Collection, right. And so there's a record that just came out, Swampland Jewels. Swampland Jewels, right. That's Cajun music, which is something I really like. I think our listeners would enjoy that. We'll be right back. So tell us a little bit about, did they come to you? Did you go to them? Like, how did that whole thing start? I think it's really a fascinating thing that you guys are doing.
Yeah, I think that, we had met Steve, who's the director there and the executive that kind of runs the whole program. He has done a number of great presentations on campus about different aspects of music history. He's had different authors come in and speak and different musicians. And I think we just kind of started talking to him about different ideas, and Glenn and I met with him a number of times, just kind of diving into, well, what's in the collection? What are some of the opportunities that would exist? And, you know, how would this work? And I think just kind of realized that they're sitting on kind of a lot of material that is kind of perfect for, you know, reissues in some cases, some new collections, and just really taking a more of a education route of kind of introducing music fans to some things that maybe they had missed or, you know, had forgotten about. And so far, so good. We've got two releases under our belt, the Swampland Jewels compilation, which was on a label called Gold Band Records from Lake Charles, Louisiana. And we also did a Dolly Parton's actual first single.
Yeah.
For Record Store Day last year, yep. Which she was, kind of posted about on Facebook and was very excited that we repressed that. So.
That's a really trippy Dolly Parton song too. I like that song a lot. People should listen to it. It's called Puppy Love. Very fun, man.
Yes. Well, hey, I got a great idea. Billy, do you want to just talk a little bit about the releases that are coming up in early next year? That's a good place to start.
That'd be great.
Yeah, definitely. We've got a bunch of things underway. We just finished up the deal for the new Born Ruffians record, which will be out in it looks like February.
Okay.
At this point, a Canadian rock pop band. They're actually on tour with the New Pornographers across Canada as we speak. And then we've got a new album from Grantley Phillips, which will be towards the end of February. Worked with him for number of years, and he was very motivated this last year after the election and everything, kind of wrote a very 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 strong record with definitely some political overtones. I think he was very very inspired, kind of maybe came together pretty quickly. We're also working on a new record with Josh Rouse.
Oh, nice.
Come out probably in April. That's finished, and he's just kind of putting some finishing touches on everything. And actually, the first single is going to come out this fall. And so he's the first kind of performance of everything is going to be at Yep Rock 20 to kind of kick off this album cycle. So that should be really interesting to see based on the way that he's described it and kind of what he has in mind.
Very,
and then
very cool.
We've got a new record. It's going to be in March from Kim Ritchie, also Nashville based. She made a record with Brad Jones, who's worked with Chuck Prophet, as you mentioned, and just has just some really incredible songs. It's been about 5 years since she's put a record out. So this is, I think she's coming back with some of her strongest material in years. And that should be really, really cool, called Edgeland.
So I want to say, too, to our listeners that, it, you know, if you don't know the Yep Rock catalog, it'll kind of blow your mind when you go back and look through it all again. You know, I'm scrolling through here on Discogs, and there's just many, many pages, and you see names like Bob Mould that you know, and Marah, who's a big fan, we're big fans of, I should say, on this show. And I'm holding here in my hand, and Glenn or Billy, I don't know if either of you guys have any thoughts on this, but this is one of my favorite records, and I consider it to be kind of an unusual one. It's by Robert Forster from the Go-Betweens. It's called The Evangelist.
It was one day at 5:30. I went down to the beach. The afternoon was dying. There was purple at its feet. I love the shades of nightfall, the faded and graves, the silver on the water seems to push so many things away. Always. Do, 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 do.
Such a special record.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great one. He was pretty amazing in general. And we had done, I guess, a couple Go-Betweens things as well. At least one record, if not two. But we had done, I know, one proper record at least, and like a record that had a live concert as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then that through that relationship, that's how that solo record came about. Okay. But it was. That record's great, and it deserves more attention, actually. But that's an interesting one. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, it's just one of those ones that kind of falls out of nowhere, or at least did for me, and just kind of grows on you. I will also say the Sadies are on Yep Rock, one of my very favorite bands. And you know, there's a band called Dressy Bessie that's a lot of fun too, and also Low Straitjackets. For our listeners, if you want to see a great Christmas show, I don't know if they're going to do it this year, but I've seen it before, and it's a pretty amazing thing. And they just put out something with Nick Lowe, right, or a tribute to Nick Lowe, right? So that could...
They did... They're actually going to be touring. They're playing at Yep Rock 20 together. Mm-hmm. But they... Low Straitjackets put out a record themselves, which was all Nick Lowe songs done as instrumentals, which came out, you know, not too long ago, a few months ago. The cover is a takeoff of Nick's first solo record, Jesus of Cool, which is a lot of fun. And Nick did a Christmas record himself. I guess it's been like 4 years ago now,
five years ago.
Yeah. And so, you know, Low Straitjackets put out a Christmas record probably, I don't know, I'm going to say 2000 or something, that we did with them. And it's a great one. It's still one of my favorites. So the two of them got together. They're managed by the same guy, and we kind of, all kind of talked about, hey, why don't these guys do a tour together for Christmas? So they did that a couple years after Nick's release, and they did the U.S., parts of the U.S. last year, maybe 2 years in the U.S. I can't even remember now, but then they did like Spain and the UK last year. So this year, I think that they were just super stoked about where this music had gotten to, this sort of like, you know, kind of rock and roll, kind of upbeat sort of vibe that they were putting together, mm-hmm. that they decided, why don't we just do it without the Christmas songs? And so that's what they're up to now this fall. They're kind of just going out and playing Nick songs and in a kind of very special way. It's great. I mean, it's a different experience than Nick's, the band that he's worked with over the last 20 years or so.
Yeah.
It's a real fun experience. I highly recommend it.
Anytime you can see those guys, I mean, the first time I ever saw those guys, this was a while back, playing Christmas songs in those wrestling masks. I mean, it's not something to forget. And they're just such an amazing, tight band. Yes. You know, they really, really are.
They are. They are good.
Yeah. And the Nick Lowe set that came out, was it earlier this year? I think it was, right? In the lunchbox, right? Like kind of the old school 70s lunchbox. How has that done for Yep Rock?
It's done amazing. We've been very blown away by the response to it. And I'm not just talking it up. I think it was one of those ideas that just came up in a meeting and people were batting around different things we could do to kind of, you know, bring attention to this. And it's worked really, really well. I mean, we had the challenge of releasing six, you know, records from the 80s from Nick and most of them just completely out of print.
Yeah.
Or some of them not even up on digital. And, you know, how do you approach kind of building a story around that? And it's gone really well. The last two come out October 20th, actually the Friday night of Yep Rock 20. Mm-hmm. So we're down to the last couple of lunch boxes. I think we'll be done with it by the end of that weekend. There's a few people that are still asking for them, but yeah, it's gone exceedingly well. It's one of those examples where you sort of say, will people really be interested in this? And you know, once you get into it and get the positive feedback, you're like, of course, we knew that a lunchbox was exactly what everybody would win.
Yeah, I'm
but
sure
they're gorgeous. I mean, when we got the box, I remember everybody was like, it smells like an 80s lunchbox. It has this very like, you know, kind of metal kind of smell. So it's awesome.
Comes with a broken thermos already inside, which is great.
Well, you've got the artwork on the thing is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
To think of having a lunchbox that has a picture of somebody smoking a cigarette on it a couple places. Pretty amazing.
You can't beat
I don't
that.
Know if my mom would have let me take that one to school as a kid.
No, I think I was stuck with like Hot Wheels or something like that. But
exactly.
Yeah. Glenn and Billy, I really appreciate you taking some time.
Thanks for the interest, man.
Thank you very much. And I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun, and let's stay in touch.
All right.
Definitely.
Great.
Okay. Thanks,
take
guys.
Care.
Pretty fascinating stuff, right, Jim? That, you know, they've put out all those records, and I really like that, you know, that little snippet of Cajun music we heard on that Swampland Jewels reissue, and really interesting stuff about Nick Lowe and the lunchbox. Like, you know, that's an idea that they're totally into, right? Reissuing everything inside of a lunchbox, and you know, Low Straitjackets, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Low Straitjackets?
I would like to see them.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. I saw the Christmas show, as I said, and that's really good.
They wear like Mexican wrestling masks or something, right?
Yeah, they do. So it's sort of like you're watching these guys wearing Mexican wrestling masks playing Jingle Bells in kind of a, you know, sort
like
of
surf
a
music
root
kind of
surf
thing, isn't it?
Tempo. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's quite a surreal experience, but well worth it. And now they're backing up Nick Lowe on, you know, they did a whole LP of his songs instrumentally. So that's just, you know, another flavor of Yep Rock. But it was great. Those Glenn and Billy, thank you guys a lot. And it was really nice to talk to them. And I think there's a lot sort of rocking in suburbs and them have in common. So I'm pretty sure next time I'm on the road in North Carolina, maybe I'll bring you along, Jim.
I want to go.
We'll get the camper loaded up and we'll go down and visit those guys for a while.
I want to go down there.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Maybe the next time Chuck Prophet's in town, we'll go down and say hi to him.
Now, have you ever thought at any point in your life of starting a record label? Was that ever a consideration for you?
Yes, absolutely a consideration.
And what happened?
It happened in a limited way. I think I put some cassettes out on my own label, but I'd love to keep doing it. I really would. I have a friend who lives in the suburbs who we should talk to sometime, who's successfully run a record label on the side for about 30 years now. It's quite amazing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. He has a day job, actually, at the Library of Congress. But that's another episode, folks. We'll talk about that off the air.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's very cool.
It can be done, Jim. It's never too late.
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I always thought that. That's one of those things you always think that would just be great fun to do. I don't know. And the reality of it is probably quite different than what you think.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Exactly.
I'm sure, one of the things I admire about these guys, I'm sure they just live it and they have to put a ton of work. There's a lot of sweat equity that goes into this kind of a job. But if you love it.
Yeah.
Eventually it pays off. You get stuff out there and people love it. And
and you get to celebrate 20 years.
Yeah.
I imagine us sitting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, bleary eyed, taping records into boxes to mail out or something like that,
That's right.
Yeah. Which sounds pretty good, actually.
Can't all be Ahmet Ergen.
No, not right away.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for doing that, Patrick.
Yeah,
that was really cool.
Thanks to Glenn and Billy for taking some time, and hopefully we'll do some more with Yep Rock in the future.
I would love that.
Yep.
Okay. So keep listening to our show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that you will hear over time us feature various artists who are on the Yep Rock label.
Absolutely.
Because we like a lot of this roster. And let me just throw this out there. If they happen just to have any, 45s sitting around the office, I don't know if they've done any work in terms of actual 45s with the big hole that might fit into someone's jukebox.
Like yours, say, in your basement.
It wouldn't upset me too much if it made it my way.
It wouldn't be bad.
Yeah.
You can find our mailing address somewhere or other.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Just a thought. All right, so this is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
You can hear our show on Apple Podcasts, Audioboom, other major podcast platforms. You can also find the show and writings about the show at suburbspod.com. You can call our suburban party line. You can talk about any of the artists that we've talked about and featured here.
Anything.
Or anything else you like. The number is 612-440-1984. Or you can email us rock@suburbspod.com.
Please do.
Or you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram @suburbspod. And one more thing. If you like the show, we hope you do, please subscribe on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review and a rating there.
Please.
That would really help us out a lot. We would really appreciate that.
Please.
I think that's about it. Is there something we want to play out with, or is that just going to be a surprise for people?
I think it'll be a surprise.
All right. Very good. So we'll talk to you guys again later.
And it's going to be a good flying day. Sun is up. There's no clouds in your way. So pick up your shovels, boys. Pick up your spades. We'll see you again someday. Someday. We'll see you again someday.
Yeah, they had to drag me away.